Good afternoon, and thank you for downloading this week's podcast of The Gender Spot. This week, we're talking about perceptions of beauty in the media. If you enjoy the debate here, we also have a catch-up of our full-length show, including the news and our weekly arts review. Enjoy the show. And this week, we're going to be talking about body image in the media and discussing our panel's experience and thoughts of how women and men, the images of them in the media might affect them. So really, we'd like to start off with what got Francis and I, and actually Laura, who's another guest of ours in the studio today, how we got involved with producing the G-Spot in the first place. And this was by way of our Victoria's Secrets petition. So without further ado, I'm just going to play you a little clip of how we got into feminism and petitioning.
Perfect Body campaign sends an unhealthy and damaging message to women.
Those three small but powerful words igniting outrage.
The ad for a line of Body by Victoria bras that promises the perfect body. Many feel that the phrase used over the scantily clad models sends the message that these women have the perfect body. One girl tweeting, quote, "What gives Victoria's Secret the right to say what a perfect body is? Stop body shaming."
When someone looks at that, the tendency is to measure themselves against that ad.
College student Gabriella Contarides says it's hard not to catch a double meaning. Now, Contarides and two of her friends have created this petition on change.org, calling on Victoria's Secret to change the wording on their advertisements for their bra range Body to something that does not promote unhealthy and unrealistic standards of beauty. Thousands of supporters signed in just 1 week. The three women also launching the now viral hashtag, I Am Perfect, prompting hundreds of tweets.
There's no shortage of images that women are supposed to aspire to. We're supposed to look like supermodels. We're supposed to be super intelligent. We're also supposed to have a lot of money, and we're supposed to be independent. There's so much freaking pressure on us, and unfortunately, Victoria's Secret is not helping with a recent campaign titled The Perfect Body.
Victoria's Secret quietly changed its Perfect Body slogan on Thursday, following backlash stemming from a change.org petition.
So that was some news clips from our from the global news attention that our petition got, which got over 33,000 signatures. And eventually Victoria's Secret did change their slogan to A Body for Everybody. And that was one of the ways that we became really interested in the representations of women in the media. So on our panel this week, we've got Matt Brown, who's a geography student at Leeds University, Justin van der Weide, who is a construction management student, Laura Ferris, who is co-founder of the I Am Perfect tagline and an adult nursing student, and Rosa Dodd, an English literature student.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
In the last few decades, we've witnessed a growth in the production and consumption of celebrity culture and the impacts of advertisements. And like it or loathe it, it surrounds us and even invades us. It shapes our thought on conduct, style and perceptions. And due to a rise in eating disorders, especially among young women in the UK, the government's women's unit called for a body summit, which was held in June 2000. A magazine's depiction of extreme slenderness, fashion and beauty were believed to be the root cause for eating disorders. And it's often not the image alone that can have an effect, but it's the associated ideas, concepts and messages attached to that image that can prove to be just as damaging, if not more. So we're joined by our wonderful panel here in the studio. You, of course, at home can join in the conversation by tweeting us using the hashtag TheGSpot or commenting on our Facebook page, TheGenderSpot. But for now, I'd like to put to the panel how you think representations of women, particularly in the media, make you feel and affect you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you said, that it's not just the image, but the things that are associated with the image. So we get these visions of beautiful, white models, slender, who are successful and happy and things like that. You know, it's the associations that go with that.
And I think a lot of it is so impossible to attain. A lot of it, it's really presenting just one particular body type without the diversity that we see in our everyday lives. You know, when we look at our friends, they don't look like models on television or, you know, in adverts, but we feel like to be happy you have to sort of be a certain size, and I think that's the most damaging part of it.
And do you think that these adverts have become more invasive as we've grown up? Like, if you compare now to maybe 10-15 years ago, do you think you're more affected by adverts, billboards, TV, radio, all of that? Or,
well, in particular, I think the social media has a part to play in this, because obviously 10-15 years ago, not young women didn't have Facebook, and yet it's everywhere. I get these suggested adverts because I think I'm female on Facebook that have like all sorts of push-up bras, injections, that kind of thing advertised to me on a daily basis when I go on Facebook.
I definitely think it's true that Facebook has kind of made, or just being on the internet more, has made advertising worse. But I feel almost kind of luckier now. Like, obviously I grew up seeing all of those adverts, but now I'm a bit older, I can sort of be a bit more analytical about it. So now I feel like I'm affected less by it, mainly through getting into feminism and being more aware of the images that I'm looking at. But I feel quite lucky to be on the other side now, whereas I think it's a lot harder when you're growing up and you don't necessarily have that filter.
I think it's important to recognise as well that social media also has the other side. So whilst I might have one of those suggested adverts telling me, you know, that I need face implants or whatever, I've also got another page that has Emma Watson and like promoting feminism that's more accessible. So there's obviously going to be that balance with social media as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, because it just highlights really how social media can be used both at our detriment, but also it can be a really positive influence on our lives, obviously, as we saw with the Victoria's Secret's change petition. But
it can be a tool for good or bad. Obviously it's just a way of like disseminating information out there.
I mean, obviously it's not just adverts, is it? It's also pop culture, it's film and TV shows. Like, what do you think about the women, the roles of women maybe, and how their representation has changed over the years in movies?
I don't think that the representation has changed massively over the years. I think we still get the kind of the older, probably not quite so beautiful woman is a witch or an old hag or something like that, and the young maiden is beautiful and blonde and fair-skinned. You know, they're very set stereotypes of what is good and what is bad. And it's the same with men. You get, you know, the dark sort of rugged looking man, it tends to be the baddie, and the fair, handsome, strong man is the goodie. So
I think women are often sort of portrayed as, especially in romantic comedies and stuff, they're sort of extras. So you've got all the male characters and the woman's sort of a trophy that you win at the end.
Yeah, definitely.
And women are, you know, like, I remember watching Desperate Housewives when I was younger, and all the women they're all just tiny, like absolutely tiny. And I read a really interesting quote, which is, this is not to say that obviously men do face body image issues in films and stuff, but it said that in Hollywood films you see women of one body type, no, men of all different body types dating women of one body type. You know, the woman's always slim, always very glamorous. Well, I mean, I'm generalising, it's not always the case, but...
What I think is particularly interesting is I'm doing a module, 18th century literature, and it seems to me that it used to be through literature that sort of misogynistic ideas about beauty were portrayed. So there's a Swift poem where this prostitute is depicted as a beautiful young nymph going to bed, and it describes her taking out her crystal eye and taking off her eyebrows made of mouse hide and her breasts sagging down. And I think that's a very visual poem, but that kind of visual hatred has sort of shifted into the more immediately visual in film and pictures that we have today.
I definitely agree, and I think when you're a woman, often you can't win. Like, if you look at the tabloids, you've got like, if you're fat or if you have cellulite, well, not even fat, like if you're not stick thin, you have cellulite, you get scrutinised in the tabloids. But then if you have too much plastic surgery, if you have any plastic surgery, you get equally
and if you lose,
if you
drop a few pounds, you're brandished as anorexic, mentally unstable, you know, it's you
too
just,
thin.
And there's the same with, you put loads of makeup on and you're a slut and you're asking for it, you don't wear any makeup, you're lazy, you don't care about yourself, you shave and, you know, wax every inch of your body, you are vain, you don't do anything, well, you're disgusting and smelly and lazy.
If you
know,
take selfies, then you're vain. But women are told that all of their values and their appearance.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can you win?
Yeah, if you are listening at home and you have any contributions to this conversation, if you're a woman and you feel that the representation of fellow women in the media affects you, or in fact, if you feel it doesn't, or if you're a guy and you think that it affects how you view women, then please do tweet us using hashtag the G-spot. For now, Frances is going to introduce an interview she did with Cassie.
Yeah, so I did an interview with Cassie from the Leeds University's Feminism Society, and she was just talking about the standards of beauty, really, and how they are exclusionary.
think that standards of beauty in themselves are about excluding, isn't it? You know, I think it's not about positively describing something as beautiful. It's about finding something beautiful through finding lots of other things not beautiful. And so, you know, it's just, it's, you know, it's completely designed to be very singular in that way, one idea of one perfect woman, rather than allowing there for there to be, like, you know, a lack of uniformity, for there to be diversity in that way. I mean, I think it is hard because, you know, you do still see all this sort of thing, like, everyone's beautiful, all that kind of thing. Well, is it important that we're all beautiful, really? You know, you wouldn't say to everyone, everyone's just as good at plumbing, for example. And obviously that's a lot more objective. Of course it is, but you do see my point.
So that was Cassie in an interview with Francis, and we're talking about the representation of bodies in the media. But of course, women aren't the only ones who are exposed to harmful images in the media, and men are also stereotyped. The jock, for example, the joker, and the strong, silent type. Men are also victims of the portrayal of other men. And, well, we've got two men with us in the studio. How does the representation of men affect you?
I do feel that in media, just as much as women, there are men kind of portrayed, and they're all hunky and they all have six packs. And for a guy, you do feel that you have to live up to that and try and attain that sort of body. Perhaps it's probably a more healthy body shape than for women, maybe, because it's not, you know, it's not, there's no need to be anorexic, but it's just being fit and being healthy. But it's definitely present out there, and I know that I feel that, you know, going to the gym is something I need to do in order to try and attain that and look the best I can.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Matt there. I mean, I think there is a difference. For women, it's all about being very thin, be that just exercising a lot or not eating a lot or going to the gym and actually toning up. It doesn't matter. It's just about being thin. Whereas for guys, it's about being muscly or maybe just having a very healthy body. It's just different. I mean, like I say, for girls, it's just about being thin, whereas for guys, it's about being really...
And I think you're definitely right, and I think you said that it can be a healthy thing, but I think it can also become unhealthy when it's like the focus is on being really muscly. A lot, and the amount of men who are taking steroids nowadays is so much higher than it used to be.
But also, I mean, for guys, yeah, I say there's all of that, but in terms of my point of view, I don't feel as much pressure. It's kind of just something that's there, but I don't really pay much attention to. Whereas I think for the woman, it's more of a thing that there's more pressure on them.
And how about for the women in our panel? Do you think that you're kind of subliminally influenced by how you see men in the media? Do you kind of have a go-to type that you think is a better physical type than another one, for example? And do you think that's impacted upon by what you see in adverts?
Yeah. No, I was going to say that's a tricky question. I think obviously if you're to ask women what their ideal type would be, it would be along the lines of sort of fit, healthy, muscular, tall, that sort of thing. But I think women are possibly... in real life, things change, don't they? Because you fancy people for different reasons, and you're attracted to people for different reasons. And I think that's equal for both men and women. But I do find it quite off-putting sometimes when you see these male magazines portraying such a unattainable figure for men to do. It's the same thing, really.
I think for me, that's the most important part, is the unattainability. Like, most men, they can't look like that, and it's unfair to make them feel like they're inadequate or like they're less of a man because they can't look like that. Just in the same way that all women can't look like the women in those adverts, and they shouldn't have to want to look like that. They should, you know, be accepting.
I mean, the National Institute of Health and Clinical Excellence has previously stated that 1.6 million people in the UK are affected by an eating disorder of some kind, and 11% of these are male. Now, if 11% of 1.6 million people in the UK are male and they're affected by anorexia, I'd be really interested to look at some stats about like the percentage of men who don't technically have an eating disorder but who have kind of like a gym obsession. I think that's far more common
exercise
in men.
Exercise addiction is a real thing.
We need to look at things like body dysmorphia as well, and sort of this pervading kind of thing in the media that a real man is a masculine man, and somebody who presents as slightly more feminine or who isn't interested in sport is not a real man, just in the way that growing up as a very boyish girl, I wasn't a real lady, you know, I was really interested in boys' stuff, and I think that's a really damaging kind of image in the media as well.
Because I was talking back to what you were saying before about in Hollywood films, if you're fat, there are more fat men than fat women. Mm. I think there is the idea that you can be successful and fat as a man, but ultimately at the end of the day, the ones that all the girls want to be with are the ones who are fit and tanned and tall, dark and handsome.
Yeah. And rich.
And rich, exactly. So, I agree.
Well, just going back to what Francis said about the unattainability, I mean, we haven't mentioned the Photoshop and photo editing side, because it is a point where, yeah, it's fair enough to say I want to be all healthy, but you carry on looking at the photos and all of them are absolutely perfect and you're pretty much never going to reach it.
Mm. Yeah, talking about Photoshop, that image comes to mind. I think it was Calvin Klein. Who's that boy, the young
Justin
singer?
Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Who had his lower area enlarged by Calvin Klein on the billboards. And and the muscles too. I think, you know, it's really easy for us as women to neglect how men are impacted by photographs as well. I mean,
I think that women are more used to having these conversations. They're more used to, you know, like, we all read feminist literature and media and stuff, and we're used to picking apart these images. But
yeah,
I think maybe men are less used to talking about it. So it doesn't mean that it's not damaging. It's just...
Matt and Jess, and how often do you guys sit down with your friends and talk about how men are portrayed in the media?
I was just going to say, I mean, I never really think about it. It's just there. Like I say, I feel pressure every now and then, but it's sort of subconscious. I don't really think about it. Guys don't really talk about it.
I mean, whilst we don't sit down and talk about specifically about how we're portrayed in the media, there definitely is a focus on going to the gym and trying to attain that body. So our housemate, for a start, is very focused on what he looks like. And, you know, he'll make sure that on the day he goes out, he will go to the gym so that he looks in perfect shape for when he goes out, so that he's the most attractive, you know, he could possibly be for women. So
yeah, I think it's just really interesting considering kind of how guys feel as well, and how the media can really impact on everyone.
Definitely. And I think this is a bit of an awkward thing to bring up, but I think something that doesn't get talked about enough is penis size. Like, that is a huge area which men feel really insecure about, and I don't feel like it gets talked about enough. You know, I feel like people laugh it off, but a lot of people are really insecure about that, and I think
that's absolutely
an important part of it.
Yeah, and so. Things, I mean, it's just like breast size, isn't it? In underwear adverts and women's bum size, like, all these things can be enlarged and make individuals feel insecure about it. And whilst it's, you know, it's easy for women to talk about boobs with their friends and how, like, this woman had perfect boobs, like, guys aren't... I've never heard a guy say to his friend, like, oh, did you see that advert? That guy had a massive, you know...
I think you'd be surprised.
Really?
Maybe we're just not there for this conversation.
What I'm really interested in talking about for this section of the conversation is this concept of lighter is better, and about how women of colour are acceptable, it seems, in the media, so long as they have white, white features or lighter skin. And I mean, it's revolting and it's disgusting, but I almost never see, for example, a black woman, like, not who hasn't been airbrushed, who hasn't been kind of messed around with to make her look more...
Often have their skin tone lightened, for example. There were the Beyoncé adverts which she did for L'Oreal, and they lightened her skin tone. There was the woman who's an actress, she's in that film Precious, and she did a cover for Vogue or Elle, and it's horrible. I mean, they just lightened her skin tone so much that it's indefensible. You know, it clearly sends out a very specific message.
It's true, but look at one of the most successful women in America is Oprah Winfrey, and she actively, you know, she sells herself on the fact that she's an independent woman. She doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what colour she is. She's just proud that she's part of her culture. She's part of her heritage, and it hasn't really affected her. So I think it's all right to say that media nowadays is is compelling women to change their skin tone, but it's something that's been done for so long as well. I mean, the geishas in India, it's been happening for hundreds and thousands of thousands of years potentially.
I think it's not just about skin tone though. If you think about the Victoria's Secret advert that we campaigned against, it's about the westernisation of black or ethnic women. So they don't keep their natural ethnic hair, it's straightened and lengthened and all of that. And the shape of their noses, black women who are models tend to have very westernised features and don't have sort of the typical black wide noses. And you know, it's not just skin tone, there's an awful lot. And there was recently a black actress who walked down the red carpet with dreadlocks, and somebody commented on her being smelly
and
dirty.
It was an American
it was in the fashion, but it said she would smell like marijuana. It's really horrible. I don't even like repeating that. It's nasty.
I think also like Naomi Campbell's a really good example, because she's almost lost all of her natural hair from having so many extensions tied in through years and years of this sort of performance of being whiter than she
and it's fine. I mean, that's her choice as well, and
definitely.
And I think it's very easy, like you said, so you can pick here's Oprah Winfrey, here's Naomi Campbell. But if you look at the statistics, like on the New York fashion runway there was like 3% non-white models. Like, obviously there's going to be a famous figurehead, but statistically you can't deny that you know, people choose Caucasian models over.
I mean, clearly there's an issue of representation of women of colour in the media in general, but unfortunately, as we don't have a woman of colour sitting with us in the studio today, we can't talk for them, and we can't, you know, we can only speak for what we see in the media. And if you are listening and you have any comments and you'd like to contribute and let us know how you feel you're affected by the image of specific women or men in the media, then we'd love to hear from you. But we're actually going to move the conversation on, as we're running out of time, to the portrayal of disabilities in the media, or the lack thereof.
This is something that I feel really strongly about. When I left school, I worked with people with disabilities, learning disabilities and physical, and you just don't really see the representation of them in the media, insofar as you don't see somebody who might be an amputee unless it's Paralympian or an ex-military, or somebody who might have a mental health problem. Quite often you see people with mental health problems negatively portrayed, so you know, they're psycho, or you know, that bipolar sort of madness or something, and it's not helpful.
Schizophrenia is like, I mean, there are, you know, so many horror films that make me cringe now because of the portrayal of mental illness. Is really horrible.
It's really interesting what you said about you know, they're going to be ex-military or a Paralympian, and they're always portrayed as someone who's had to overcome an adversity, and they're not actually recognised for just being themselves and being people.
They're always portrayed as a hero, like Forrest Gump or something, I don't know, or
something to you know, feel bad for, rather than just being a person in the media. And I think also a big thing is people with disabilities are so rarely viewed in the media as people with sexual tendencies. I mean, you never talk about that.
Hugely so. And also we look at massive, you know, big disabilities, so in a wheelchair. We don't look at things like chronic illness, such as like renal failure, or so I'm working in dialysis at the moment on placement, so you know, those things count in disabilities, or somebody who's got a visual impairment or a hearing impairment. We don't see them particularly represented either in mainstream media.
I watched there's a show called Silent Witness, and it's like a kind of like detective show, and it's got a lot of positive criticism, because they've got one of the women who's an actress in it is in a wheelchair. I'm not sure exactly. She has a disease, a muscle wasting disease, I think, but it has nothing to do with her character. It's completely like divorced from her character, and it was really interesting for me to watch that. I was like, well, I don't think I've ever seen that, where it's someone with a disability, but that's not what makes their character.
And of course, mental illnesses, which we just touched upon as well. I mean, actually, a really good example of someone with a mental illness being portrayed in, I think, a relevant way is Homeland? Is it Homeland? I don't know if any of you have watched Homeland.
No, I haven't.
So the woman who's the main protagonist is, I think she's got schizophrenia, and it's just her illness is, you know, it is part of her life, but it doesn't impact on everything. And it's just portrayed in a really realistic way. And she's got, you know, this whole other life outside of her mental illness. And I think it's really refreshing to see that. And it's not something that's often portrayed.
I feel that mental illness is getting more recognition nowadays. I mean, you've got Stephen Fry, who had depression and suffered quite badly with depression. I think he made a few attempts in his own life. I think that's allowing people, showing them that there is a way to talk about it and get it out in the public now. And it's not a taboo subject anymore. It's something that you can face up to and deal with. So I think although, and also going back to sort of the disabled thing about Paralympics and people who've lost limbs in war, I think it's a platform for them to show that they can do just as much as people who are fully able-bodied can do. Mm. It's maybe making them out to be heroes when they don't want to be recognised as heroes, but it does allow them to do stuff that they otherwise may not have been able to do before. So.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think it's still a positive.
I think that as well. I think the important thing with disability is not letting it define the person. Mm. It's allowing them to... That disability does affect you and it does craft you. I'm dyslexic. I feel very much like I want to hold on to that. It's not really a disability, but I feel like it is important to recognise that as a really important issue, but also that, you've also got a whole wealth of other things that define you as opposed to...
Yeah, absolutely. I think on that note... we're going to end this conversation as we need to move on to our film review. So I'd like to say a massive thank you to our four wonderful panellist members today for coming on and taking the time out of your Sunday afternoon to have a conversation on the G-Spot. If you at home have been affected or want to have a comment about anything we've been discussing today, then please do tweet us using the hashtag the G-Spot.
Here's Oprah Winfrey, here's Naomi Campbell, but if you look at the statistics, like on the New York fashion runway, there was like 3% non-white models. Mm. Like obviously there's going to be a famous figureheads, but statistically you can't deny that people choose Caucasian models over non-Caucasian.
I mean, clearly
models.
There's an issue of representation of women of colour in the media in general, but unfortunately, as we don't have a woman of colour sitting with us in the studio today, we can't talk for them, and we can't, we can only speak for what we see in the media. And if you are listening and you have any comments and you'd like to contribute, and let us know how you feel you're affected by the image of specific women or men in the media, then we'd love to hear from you. But we're actually going to move the conversation on, as we're running out of time, to the portrayal of disabilities in the media, mm-hmm. Or the lack thereof.
Yeah, this is something that I feel really strongly about. When I left school, I worked with people with disabilities, learning disabilities and physical, and you just don't really see the representation of them in the media, insofar as you don't see somebody who might be an amputee unless it's Paralympian or an ex-military or somebody who might have a mental health problem. Quite often you see people with mental health problems negatively portrayed. They're psycho or, that bipolar sort of madness or something, and it's not helpful.
Schizophrenia is like, there are, so many horror films that make me cringe now because of the portrayal of mental illness is really horrible.
It's really interesting what you said about, they're going to be ex-military or a Paralympian, and they're always portrayed as someone who's had to overcome an adversity, and they're not actually recognised for just being themselves and being people.
They're always portrayed as a hero, like Forrest Gump or something, I don't know, or
something to feel bad for, rather than just being a person in the media. And I think also a big thing is people with disabilities are so rarely viewed in the media as people with sexual tendencies. You never talk about that.
Hugely so. And also we look at massive, big disabilities, so in a wheelchair. We don't look at things like chronic illness such as like renal failure I'm working in dialysis at the moment on placement. So, those things count in disabilities, or somebody who's got a visual impairment or a hearing impairment. Mm. We don't see them particularly represented either in mainstream media.
I watched, there's a show called Silent Witness, and it's like a kind of like detective show. And it's got a lot of positive criticism because they've got the woman who's an actress in it is in a wheelchair. I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. She has a disease, a muscle wasting disease, I think, but it has nothing to do with her character. It's completely like divorced from her character. And it was really interesting for me to watch that. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that, where it's someone with a disability, but that's not what makes their character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, mental illnesses, which we just touched upon as well. I mean, actually, a really good example of someone with a mental illness being portrayed in I think a relevant way is Homeland. Is it Homeland? I don't know if any of you have watched Homeland.
No, I haven't.
So the woman who's the main protagonist is I think she's got schizophrenia, and it's just her illness is, you know, it is part of her life, but it doesn't impact on everything. Mm. And it's just portrayed in a really realistic way. And she's got, you know, this whole other life outside of her mental illness. And I think it's really refreshing to see that. And it's not something that's often portrayed.
I feel that mental illness is getting more recognition nowadays. I mean, you've got Stephen Fry, who had depression and suffered quite badly with depression. I think he made a few attempts in his own life. I think that's allowing people, you know, showing them that there is a way to talk about it and get it out in the public now. And it's not a taboo subject anymore. It's something that you can face up to and deal with. So I think although, and also, you know, going back to sort of the disabled thing about Paralympics and people who've lost limbs in war, I think it was a platform for them to show that they can do just as much as people who are fully able bodied can do. Mm. It makes making them out to be heroes when they don't want to be recognised as heroes, but it does allow them to do stuff that they otherwise, you know, may not have been able to do before. So.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think it's still a positive.
I think that as well. I think the important thing with disability is not letting it define the person. Mm. It's allowing them to... That disability does affect you and it does craft you. I'm dyslexic. I feel very much like I want to hold on to that. It's not really a disability, but I feel like it is important to recognise that as a really important issue, but also that, you know, you've also got a whole wealth of other things that define you as opposed to...
Yeah, absolutely. I think on that note... we're going to end this conversation as we need to move on to our film review. So I'd like to say a massive thank you to our four wonderful panellist members today for coming on and taking the time out of your Sunday afternoon to have a conversation on the G-Spot. If you at home have been affected or want to have a comment about anything we've been discussing today, then please do tweet us using the hashtag #TheGSpot.